This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions.
We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. I'm Gretchen Rubin, and this is A Little Happier. One thing I've learned about myself is that I'm very literal. I'm very straightforward. I want ideas to unfold in a linear way. I think a lot about the rules and the right way to do things. And while this is sometimes my strength, it's also sometimes my weakness. So I always watch for examples when someone sees a solution that I wouldn't see or grasps a possibility that would never have occurred to me. One example of this has delighted me for years. The novelist John Steinbeck is very well known for works such as The Grapes of Wrath, East of Eden, and The Pearl. For many years, he worked intensively on a book that was a retelling of the myth of King Arthur, which in the end became his novel, The Acts of King Arthur and His Noble Knights. In a letter to his editor, Chase Horton, on August 10, 1959, Steinbeck discusses the problem of when in history to set his telling of the myth of King Arthur. I know that for me as a writer, this issue would have presented a very straightforward set of questions. What period would I choose? How much research would I need to do to be historically accurate? Did they have the rules of chivalry? Did they have horseshoes? How exactly did people dress at the time? And so on. But perhaps because of his deep knowledge of the work of other authors, or perhaps because of his own mastery, Steinbeck found another solution, one that I know wouldn't have occurred to me. But the minute I read his solution, I knew it was exactly right. Now, before I read this excerpt from his letter, there's a bit of backstory you should know. When Steinbeck refers to what Malory did, he's referring to Sir Thomas Malory, who in 1485 wrote one of the best-known versions of the stories of King Arthur, Merlin, Guinevere, and the Knights of the Round Table. Steinbeck wrote to Horton, "One thing Malory did, he placed his time as before." Now, there is a curious time and one I have tried to adopt. Time interval in the past is a very recent conception. For instance, Julius Caesar found no difficulty in being descended from Venus and didn't feel the event very remote. I have the following choices. I can choose a period and stick with it, making this whole work a period piece, which I don't like because these stories are universal. Or I can make the past a large composite curtain called before. Now, that is actually how most people see the past. In this pattern, the Lake Village and the Tuscany Merchant can both operate because both belong to the before. The only things that cannot enter are the things of the present, the now. But on the other hand, the human problems must all be of the now. I read this passage years ago, and I've never forgotten it. Because I know as a writer, I would never have figured this out. I couldn't have imagined that I could just not worry about it. And the minute that I read it, I realized that for this story, it was a brilliant solution. If I were writing a story, if I chose, I could just throw in anything from the past that strengthened it, whether it was historically accurate or not. I could have jousts, pilgrims, jesters, cathedrals, castles, windmills, alchemists, all thrown together in a pageant of before. Once I read that, I saw the possibility. When we know ourselves, when we understand our strengths and our limitations, we can watch for opportunities to learn and to expand our sense of possibilities. And we can appreciate better those who see the world in a different way. or who would make different choices. John Steinbeck found a solution that I would not have found, and I've learned from his example. I'm Gretchen Rubin, and I hope this makes your week a little happier.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.